Thank you very much, Mr. Examiner. I would like to briefly call Mr. Kiedel Freeman and Mr. Andrew Bjorn for a couple of narrow questions.
Freeman, you're still under oath.
Understood.
Mr. Freeman, did you hear Mr. Shook's testimony related to the costs that are imposed by MHA?
I did.
Okay. And is it your understanding, I guess, what is your understanding about what the actual costs associated with MHA
are? So I think Mr. Shook testified that he assumed about a $21 per square foot MHA fee in Southwick Union. In fact, the fees in Southwick Union range from about $7 per square foot up to about $13 per square foot, depending on the zone. So the fee used in his analysis for the purposes of MHA was not accurate.
Okay. Did you also hear Mr. Shook's testimony about, I guess I'm actually going to ask you to turn to Exhibit 36, Figure 2, that identifies development pro forma prototypes. Did you have any concerns about the prototypes that were identified here?
Well, we heard a fair amount of testimony about the mixed-use tower prototype 1, which shows a floor area ratio of 10.1, and I think Mr. Shook testified correctly that the actual, whatever, the sort of maximum FAR in a zone may be, maximum floor area ratio in a zone may be, can be distinct from what is in a final built product, because there may be exemptions depending on what a jurisdiction allows and also depending on the zone. As a practical matter, the maximum FAR of 10.1, which I think is based on a Southwick Union prototype, doesn't appear in very many places in the city. I think there may be one other place where it might appear is in the University District. Typically in neighborhood commercial zones that have a similar height that would allow development of towers up to 12 stories tall or even 14 stories tall, the maximum FAR is 7.
Okay, so do I understand that you believe this floor area ratio for the mixed-use tower prototype 1 to be not reflective of the actual FAR?
That's correct, and the number of housing units that are assumed in his model might be significantly less depending on what the zone would allow if the zone allowed a 12-story tall building.
No more questions for you.
Thank you. There's a chance for cross.
Oh, pardon.
Yep.
Sorry about that. Sorry, in court.
No problem. I just have one question. With regard to MHA fees, they vary across the city currently, do they not?
They do.
And do they vary up to as much as about $35 in some areas?
It depends on the amount of increase that was provided through the an upzone, and it also depends on whether or not an area is considered a high, a medium, or a low-cost area. Downtown and South Lake Union are treated somewhat differently. Generally speaking, the amount of extra development capacity granted through MHA in high-cost areas was the standard M-level bump, so there wasn't multiple stories added, I think.
And so my question was simply I appreciate your explanation of MHA, but it's simply just isolated to the fees. Are the fees as high as $35 in some areas?
Yes, in some areas they are.
Okay, thank you. And I don't have any other questions.
Any redirect?
Just wondering which areas would be the $35 fee and what are some of the other fees?
So the areas where there would be the highest fee, and those are actually very few areas, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, would be in high-cost areas, so generally the areas around downtown and South Lake Union, where a lot of additional development capacity was granted through MHA. So that's, I guess, the answer to the first part of your question. I actually forget the second part of your question.
Whether or not there were lower fees elsewhere. For example, in some of the other less developed areas.
Yeah, so in a low-cost area that received just the standard M bump, the fee could be as low as $7 per square foot.
And is that, that's identified in the code, which areas?
Yeah, those are all in Title 23 and Chapter 2358C for MHAR, the Mandatory Housing Affordability Residential Program.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next witness.
Mr. Bourne.
Bourne, still under oath.
Mr. Bjorn, did you hear Mr. Shook's testimony that in his opinion, or I guess he was assuming that there would be somewhere between an 11% to 15% return on equity in his assumption?
I did, yes.
Okay. And would you, based on your experience, agree with that that's a reasonable percentage that should be incorporated?
I do. There's often a range of risks in different markets, but typically that's the number that's used, yes.
Okay. And do you believe it's you'd be able to calculate the reduction in the most feasible prototype based on that assumption?
If we had access to all of the assumptions that were behind the calculation with Figure 3, then that estimate of reduction in feasibility could be made, yes. But what I would state is that examining the difference between the Seattle MHA and the Seattle MHA plus transportation impact fee bars in Figure 1, that noting that a 0.12% change in return on cost is relatively small in relation to that and likely pretty far below what you could likely identify with precision. That the modeling that's typically done as part of a pro forma includes some development assumptions. You can assume, for example, that there's a single cap rate within the city, and there may not be. You can assume that there may be ideal lending rates, and they may change between developers. So I think that that level of change is one that's relatively small.
And based on that change, that it's your opinion is relatively small, would that result in your opinion, in a significant impact to housing supply and housing affordability?
I think that it's speculative to include that as a final conclusion without more information.
And what types of more information do you think would be necessary?
So typically, if there is an understanding that some uncertainty exists in a model, developing out a sensitivity analysis to determine what the effects of changing certain parameters would be on the final conclusions can be important. So looking at future development, for example, examining how construction costs and rents may change in the future can be important to determine whether or not the conclusions that would be reached in Figure 3 would be correct or would be more based on the other assumptions that were made and not necessarily only on the imposition of an impact fee.
So in your opinion, is it reasonable to look at just one factor, in this case fees, to reach a determination about whether or not there would be a reduction in housing?
I think that it's certainly possible to look at individual factors. I think that in this case, it is unclear that this is such a significant factor that it would have more than an extremely marginal impact. I think that more information is needed, and that's not provided here.
Thank you. No further questions for me.
Cross.
Good morning.
Morning.
I believe last time we talked, you said you had not done independent analysis of the impacts of this proposal on housing. Since then, have you conducted that independent analysis?
I have not.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. That concludes our hearing. We have closing due, first on July 19, and responses then on July 26. Anything else we need to resolve?